Today we are continuing the theme of asking the Lord to teach us how to pray. And today's lesson was drawn from James chapter 1. And out of this passage, I summarize three spiritual principles of how should we pray. So from today's passage, we learn three principles. How should we pray? First of all, we should pray for wisdom. In verse 5 it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. We should ask God for wisdom. Why is it that when we pray, we should ask for wisdom? There are lots of things to pray for, ask for. Why wisdom? The reason why we should pray ultimately first for wisdom is because wisdom gives us the right perspectives to look at everything else in life that happens in life. We can ask for many things, but wisdom is the controlling perspective principle that guides us understand life in general. Wisdom gives us perspectives, including trials, tragedies, and even success. To many of us, the major hindrance of our faith and even prayers are questions like, why does bad things happen to good people? Wisdom, in this case, let us see trials from God's perspectives. In the letter, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. When you are in trials, for most of us, the last thing we face trials is consider it pure joy. Pure joy means total joy. But wisdom helps us see that. If we look at trials from God's perspectives, it's quite remarkable. Wisdom lets us see God have purpose even amidst of trials. What is wisdom? Well, recently I come across a quotation. It says, wisdom, knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put tomato among fruit salads. It may be quite a cute quotation, but I don't think it is that helpful. You know, tomato is a fruit because it has seeds. But wisdom, it says, don't mix it among fruit salads. Tomato would make a mess out of it. It's cute, but not helpful. I would say wisdom, my definition, is the understanding of God's purpose and plan in your life. And wisdom leads you to a desire to live accordingly. This is the wisdom that we should pray for. We should pray ultimately when we pray is to ask God to let us know his plan His purpose for our life and give us the inspiration, motivation to act on it, to live accordingly. This happens especially during trials. In trials and difficult situations, wisdom guides us to understand what is going on in life. What are the priorities in our lives? Lee Edwards is the campaign manager for George Bush in the 1988 United States presidential campaign. Being the campaign manager of George Bush, who won the presidency, it was a great success for him by the standard of the world. But after he won, after he helped George Bush win the election, he was diagnosed with a cancer of the brain, something similar to my sister's. And he began to reflect upon his life. He wrote, "The 1980s were about, in his life, was about acquiring wealth, power, prestige. I know I acquire more wealth, power, and prestige than most. But you can acquire all you want and still feel empty. What power wouldn't I trade for a little more time with my family? What price wouldn't I pay for an evening with my friends? It took a deadly illness to put my eye to eye with that truth. But it is a truth that the country, caught up with its ruthless ambitions and moral decay, can learn on my dime. I don't know who will lead us through the 90s. To this, I may add the 20s. But they must be made to speak to this spiritual vacuum at the heart of America's society, this tumor of the soul." You see, it took brain cancer, it took serious illness for Lee Atwater to see the real meaning of life, the emptiness of wealth, power, and prestige. Here's another illustration. It's an illustration I got from Radio Bible. This is this lady, Laura Morgan, from Our Daily Bread Ministry newsletter. Our Daily Bread Ministry. Laura Morgan was a gifted cello player. She performed in Carnegie Hall at age 8. Later on in life, she accomplished cellist Yo-Yo Ma. But in 2012, his family had a terrible traffic accident. Laura became paralyzed for many months. She had to relearn during these many months, she has to relearn basic skills like walking, talking. At the time of her accident, she had a bachelor degree in communication science and disorders, a master degree in speech pathology. So he was trained to become a speech therapist. Yet she experienced this tragic accident, serious accident. And later on, she wrote, reflect on her faith. She says, during these trials, I know that God is in control. And I know it is going to be really good in the end. But it does not mean it's not really hard during this time. It's God's faith, His faith, her faith in God that help her to overcome this tragedy. Now she cannot play cello anymore, but she learned to play a new instrument, the hammer dulcimer. And she get the chance to share her experience as a rehab patient among her professionals' therapy world. She spoke often among speech pathologists, neuropsychologists, doctors, etc. And she spoke titled My Perspective from the Other Side of the Table. So she spoke, talked among her colleagues, and share her experience as a patient. She wrote that her favorite Bible verse is Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. It's as though the fig tree does not bud. There are no grapes in the vines. Though the olive crops fails and the fields produces no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stores. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. There are many things to pray for in life, but don't ever forget to pray for wisdom, because wisdom helps us see God's plan and will in your life and to live in faith accordingly. Then second, from this passage, I draw the principle to pray with the faith that God will hear us. Pray with the faith that God will hear us. In verse 6, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. When we pray, we must pray with the faith that God will listen to our prayer. Martin Luther, council pastor, he says, pastors should instruct their people that pray include faith that God will hear us. Don't just tell your people to pray, but tell them to pray with faith, knowing that God will hear. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." In Luke 11, Jesus taught about prayer. That was the chapter that disciples come to Jesus and says, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then Jesus taught them the disciples' prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer. And after that, Jesus said, told them this story. I think many of us remember this story about a person who goes to his neighbor in the middle of the night, knock on the door, and he says, "You know, please, my friend, I have great needs. A visitor has come to my house and I have nothing to host them. Can you lend me some bread?" But his neighbor said, "No, you come at a very bad time. It's already past midnight. No, I'm in bed, my kids are in bed, you know. No. Come in the morning, you know." But Jesus, the reason why Jesus is tell the story is that this person keep knocking and knocking. And finally, Jesus said, this person in the house, in the bed, will get up, open the door, and give him what he wants. You know why? Not because they are good friends, but just because he was bold and persistent. So the lesson of the story Jesus talked after teaching story about teaching about prayer with this story is, when we pray with the determination that God, with the conviction that God will hear. And then Jesus said, "Yet, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." Why am I telling you this? It seems so obvious that when we pray to God. Yet the reality is often we just offer lip service in prayer. We may mouth the word, we may say the word, we may say the request, but deep down, we don't really believe it will happen. Or we are just hoping. With this type of attitude, we become complacent. Or some of us just don't ask anymore. Maybe that is the reason why so few people attend prayer meetings. People, I don't think that among this congregation there are no needs. I know a lot of families, a lot of individuals with great needs. Yet, they don't come to prayer meeting. Outside in the church lobby, we have a prayer request box. Every week, I open it. You know what I find? I find nothing. Week after week, month after month, I find nothing. I think for the past 3 months, there is never one single prayer request. Except recently, I find one. One prayer request written by someone who says, "Please pray for me that I can make into the basketball team." Don't guess who it is. I shared this, and they said, "Don't ever guess who this is." But what I can tell is, just pray for this person's need. I think it's a boy at school, probably. And I want to, if you are among us today, I want to know that we did pray for your request. Your request is the first one I've seen in almost 3-4 months. Are there no requests, no needs in our congregation? I don't think so. I'm seeing a lot of families with deep relationship problems. I know some families have deep and chronic illnesses among families. Yet, they would not come to say, "I need prayer. I need other people together to pray for me." Recently, a child with medical conditions happened in our church family. Their parents shared the condition with the pastor, but the parents don't want the church to know about it. The parents just said, "Pastor, just pray for us in private." Often, I see families with deep problems. Salvation of the family members, mental illnesses, relationship problems. All these problems, when I share with Sharon, that is so beyond any human help. The only thing that I think that it can help is through God's intervention. Their problems are nothing shameful or immoral. Why won't these people come forward to pray and ask people to pray with them? Maybe they thought prayer would not make any difference. But I know that these problems only God can solve and provide solutions. Why don't we ask God to intervene? So when we pray with the faith that God will hear us. Third, the goal of prayer is to be mature like Christ. Verse 4 says, "Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Prayer is not about getting things or having God to do work. Ultimately, the goal of our Christian life, whether it is through trial or through prayer, is to be mature and be like Christ. Praying is just one of the most common and effective way for us to be mature and to be like Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 13, it says, "Until all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Often we emphasize on God's love and God's forgiveness, but forget the goal is that God also desires us to be mature and to grow. No parents wants their children to remain childish forever. When our kids was a little child, they were cute. But I don't think any parents wants their children to remain like a baby, toddler, forever. They want them to mature and to grow. Prayer helps us to mature because prayer opens our minds to the wisdom and will of God. Prayer, as a pastor named Hallis says, prayer is opening the door and allowing God to flood our lives. To pray is to let Jesus into our hearts. It is not our prayer which moves the Lord Jesus, it is Jesus who moves us to pray. He knocks. Our prayers are always a result of Jesus knocking at our heart's door. This throws light upon the old prophetic passages in Isaiah. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. To pray is nothing more involved than to let Jesus into our needs. To pray is to give Jesus permissions to employ his power in the alleviation of our distress. To pray is to let Jesus glorify his name in the midst of our needs. To pray is nothing more than to open the doors, giving Jesus access to our needs and permitting him to exercise his own power in dealing with them. To pray is to be with God. As we pray more and more, as suggested by the church theme this year, our lives will be more and more in tune with our Lord Jesus. We will abide in him and be more like him. Let us pray. Lord, we are always in constant need of learning how we should pray. So may this spiritual insights we gain from the Bible passage today help us, impress us to pray for wisdom, to pray with the confidence that you hear us, and to pray so that we can understand you more and our lives will be in conformity with your will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray all this in your mighty and glorious name.